No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter where you are right now, you are welcome here. Welcome to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I'm Jill. Today is the 23rd day of October. Welcome, everyone. It is so good to be here. Here is the best place to be, right here and right now in God's Word as we go through the Bible every day in chronological order until we get through the entire book of the Bible. We are making our way, ladies and gentlemen. This month is more than halfway over, and boy, we're going to be in the final two. Holy cow. I'm going to slow my roll. It's so good to be here right now, and this is a safe space. So no matter what you brought in today, no matter what someone tried to label you, your identity, and if it's anything other than who you truly are, because we get labeled identities by our brokenness, our behaviors, we get called a liar, we get called a betrayer, we get called maybe some names that I shouldn't say here based on our past behaviors. Maybe some of those behaviors were not good, but that's not who you are. That was your brokenness. That is not at the core your true identity. And so whatever you brought in today, no matter what you've been told about yourself throughout this moment, I encourage you to lay that down and to know that you are a son, you are a daughter of the Most High God, created in the image of God, and He loves His children. And we get a choice to love Him back or reject Him. We get a choice to stay broken or to allow Him to heal us. That's going to require some work. He can't just do it without us participating, but He certainly wants to do it. So no matter what you brought in today, you can let go of that label and you can be present here, because none of us are worthy. But if you're hungry, this is a place to come and be fed. Today we're going to read John chapters 7 and 8, and this week we're reading the Christian Standard Bible, John chapter 7. After this, Jesus traveled in Galilee, since He did not want to travel in Judea because the Jews were trying to kill Him. The Jewish festival of Shelters was near, so His brothers said to Him, "Leave here and go to Judea so that your disciples can see your works that you are doing. For no one does anything in secret while he's seeking public recognition. If you do these things, show yourself to the world." For not even His brothers believed in Him. Jesus told them, "My time has not yet arrived, but your time is always at hand. The world cannot hate you, but it does hate me because I testify about it, that its works are evil. Go up to the festival yourselves. I'm not going up to this festival because my time has not yet fully come." After He had said these things, He stayed in Galilee. After His brothers had gone up to the festival, then He also went up, not openly, but secretly. The Jews were looking for Him at the festival and saying, "Where is He?" And there was a lot of murmuring about Him among the crowds. Some were saying, "He's a good man." Others were saying, "No, on the contrary, He's deceiving the people." Still, nobody was talking publicly about Him for fear of the Jews. When the festival was already half over, Jesus went up into the temple and began to teach. Then the Jews were amazed and said, "How is this man so learned, since he hasn't been trained?" Jesus answered them, "My teaching isn't mine, but is from the one who sent me. If anyone wants to do His will, he will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I am speaking on my own. The one who speaks on his own seeks his own glory, but he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Didn't Moses give you the law? yet none of you keeps the law. Why are you trying to kill me? You have a demon, the crowd responded. Who is trying to kill you? I performed one work, and you are all amazed, Jesus answered. This is why Moses has given you circumcision, not that it comes from Moses, but from the fathers, and you circumcise a man on the Sabbath. If a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath, so that the law of Moses won't be broken, are you angry at me because I made a man entirely well on the Sabbath? Stop judging according to outward appearances. Rather, judge according to righteous judgment. Some of the people of Jerusalem were saying, isn't this the man they are trying to kill? Yet look, he's speaking publicly, and they're saying nothing to him. Can it be true that the authorities know he is the Messiah? But we know where this man is from. When the Messiah comes, nobody will know where he is from. As he was teaching in the temple, Jesus cried out, you know me, and you know where I am from. Yet I have not come on my own. But the one who sent me is true. You don't know him. I know him because I am from him, and he sent me. Then they tried to seize him, yet no one laid a hand on him because his hour had not yet come. However, many from the crowd believed in him and said, when the Messiah comes, he won't perform more signs than this man has done, will he? The Pharisees heard the crowd murmuring these things about him, and so the chief priests and the Pharisees sent servants to arrest him. Then Jesus said, I am only with you for a short time. Then I'm going to the one who sent me. You will look for me, but you will not find me. And where I am, you cannot come. On the last and most important day of the festival, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. The one who believes in me, as the scripture has said, will have streams of living water flow from deep within him. He said this about the Spirit. Those who believed in Jesus were going to receive the Spirit, for the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet been glorified. When some from the crowd heard these words, they said, this truly is the prophet. Others said, this is the Messiah. But some said, surely the Messiah doesn't come from Galilee, does he? Doesn't the scripture say that the Messiah comes from David's offspring and from the town of Bethlehem where David lived? So the crowd was divided because of him. Some of them wanted to seize him, but no one laid hands on him. Then the servants came to the chief priests and Pharisees, who asked them, why didn't you bring him? The servants answered, no man ever spoke like this. And the Pharisees responded to them, are you fooled too? Have any of the rulers or Pharisees believed in him? But this crowd, which doesn't know the law, is accursed. Nicodemus, the one who came to him previously, and who was one of them, said to them, our law doesn't judge a man before it hears from him and knows what he's doing, does it? You aren't from Galilee too, are you? They replied. Investigate, and you will see that no prophet arises from Galilee. Then each one went to his house, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn he went to the temple again, and all the people were coming to him. He sat down and began to teach them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery, making her stand in the center. Teacher, they said to him, this woman was caught in the act of committing adultery. And the law of Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say? They asked this to trap him in order that they might have evidence to accuse him. Jesus stooped down and started writing on the ground with his finger. When they persisted in questioning him, he stood up and said to them, the one without sin among you should be the first to throw a stone at her. Then he stooped down again and continued writing on the ground. When they heard this, they left one by one, starting with the older men. Only he was left with the woman in the center. When Jesus stood up, he said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, Lord," she answered. "Neither do I condemn you," said Jesus. "Go, and from now on do not sin anymore." Jesus spoke to them again, "I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life." So the Pharisees said to him, "You are testifying about yourself. Your testimony is not valid." "Even if I testify about myself," Jesus replied, "my testimony is true, because I know where I came from and where I'm going. But you don't know where I come from or where I'm going. You judge by human standards. I judge no one. And if I do judge, my judgment is true, because it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. Even in your law, it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am the one who testifies about myself, and the Father who sent me testifies about me." Then they asked him, "Where is your Father?" "You know neither me nor my Father," Jesus answered. "If you knew me, you would also know my Father." He spoke these words by the treasury while teaching in the temple, but no one seized him, because his hour had not yet come. Then he said to them again, "I'm going away. You will look for me, and you will die in your sin. Where I'm going, you cannot come." So the Jews said again, "He won't kill himself, will he, since he says, 'Where I'm going, you cannot come'?" "You are from below," he told them. "I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. Therefore, I told you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." "Who are you?" they questioned. "Exactly what I've been telling you from the very beginning," Jesus told them. "I have many things to say and to judge about you, but the one who sent me is true. And what I have heard from him, these things I tell the world." They did not know he was speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said to them, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own. But just as the Father taught me, I say these things. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, because I always do what pleases him." As he was saying these things, many believed in him. Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you continue in my word, you really are my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." "We are descendants of Abraham," they answered him, "and we have never been enslaved to anyone. How can you say you will become free?" Jesus responded, "Truly, I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. A slave does not remain in the household forever, but a son does remain forever. So if the Son sets you free, you really will be free. I know you are descendants of Abraham, but you are trying to kill me because my word has no place among you. I speak what I have seen in the presence of your father. So then, you do what you have heard from your father." "Our father is Abraham," they replied. "If you were Abraham's children," Jesus told them, "you would do what Abraham did. But now you are trying to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You're doing what your father does. You weren't born of sexual immorality," they said. "We have one father, God," Jesus said to them. "If God were your father, you would love me, because I came from God and I am here. For I didn't come on my own, but he sent me. Why don't you understand what I say? Because you cannot listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he tells a lie, he speaks from his own nature, because he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Who among you can convict me of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? The one who is from God listens to God's words. This is why you don't listen, because you are not from God. The Jews responded to him, "Aren't we right in saying that you're a Samaritan and have a demon?" "I do not have a demon," Jesus answered. "On the contrary, I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it and judges. Truly I tell you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." And the Jews said, "Now we know you have a demon. Abraham died, and so did the prophets. You say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died, and the prophets died? Who do you claim to be?" "If I glorify myself," Jesus answered, "my glory is nothing. My Father, about whom you say, 'He is our God,' he is the one who glorifies me. You do not know him, but I know him. If I were to say I don't know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad." The Jews replied, "You aren't 50 years old yet, and you've seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, before Abraham was, I am." So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus was hidden and went out of the temple. Okay, and the teachings and readings today, we have Jesus traveling around Galilee. Galilee is absolutely beautiful. This is where the Sea of Galilee is. We go there every time we go to Israel. It's as beautiful and peaceful as everyone gushes over it. I can see why Jesus wanted to spend so much time there. So at the beginning of our reading today, we have Jesus's brothers saying to him, "You gotta leave here, go to Judea. That's where the people will see your miracles. You'll become famous. You won't be famous if you hide like this. And if you can do such great things, then show yourself to the world. Let them see what you can do." Again, sort of that circus monkey just performing on command. Jesus tells them, "It's not the right time for me to go, but you can go anytime. The world can't hate you, but it does hate me because I accuse it of doing evil." Here's the clincher. Either nobody wants to hear that what they think is good is actually evil, or nobody wants to be brought into accountability. Let that sit just for a second. Does anyone want to be held accountable for their actions? We can so easily shift the blame, slough it off on someone else. And we can do that if we want to. It's just not doing us any favors. We're not only trying to deceive the people that we're lying to, and a lot of times they see right through it, but we're also trying to deceive ourselves. We cannot deceive God. Let's also just notice how often Jesus retreats. He goes out of public. He goes away from the crowd. This is so polar opposite of our society. Bring us the people. Give us all the likes. Help me get to 50,000 people. Help me grow my social media platform. Help me get the word out and help me grow me. It's all about me, 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 me. And again, I say this from a place of I understand this because I lived this. I was in the Christian music world for a long time, and getting ahead was the goal. And you had to scrape and claw and fight against fellow believers. That's the crazy thing about it, to get ahead. So I'm only speaking to myself again, but I just want to point out that Jesus goes against societal norms that are so normal to us. And I get it. We live in society where you are as relevant as big as your audience. You are as relevant and sellable and bookable by way of how well your last whatever product you put out did. But let's understand, Jesus isn't trying to hook a crowd. He's not trying to build a platform. He's not even trying to build a nation. Jesus is trying to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. And when we are so caught up in the empire, we disregard the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven that is here and among us now. I want to quickly move to the 8th chapter. This is one of my most favorite stories in the gospel. Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives, but the early next morning he was back again at the temple. Crowd gathered, and he sat down and taught them. And as he was speaking, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman. Now, catch this part of the story. This woman had been caught in the act of adultery. They pulled her from the act of adultery and brought her in front of the crowd as Mosaic law instructed. Teacher, they said to Jesus, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say? Again, they're trying to trap Jesus into saying something that they can use against him, but Jesus stoops down and he writes in the dust with his finger. I would love to know what he's writing in the dust. They kept demanding an answer, so he stood up again and said, all right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone. Then he stooped down again and wrote in the dust. When the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. And Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? No, Lord, she said. And Jesus said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. Jesus risks a lot standing alone in a courtyard with a woman that was caught in adultery. This is somewhat scandalous for this time and this place. It doesn't stop Jesus from ministering to her when no one else would. There's something about the humiliation of being caught doing something that you're not supposed to be doing. And oftentimes we can mishandle the method of how we respond catching that person. And I get it, there's immense pain and betrayal and heartache and anguish and sorrow and disbelief, trauma. I mean, if this is an adulterous woman, she's married to someone else. There's a lot to repair there, and there's the consequences of actions, but it is one thing when you are the person caught or admitting, and you are met with shame, and you are met with condemnation and judgment, and it is another thing to be met with compassion, mercy, love and grace, to respond when everyone else will walk away, but at least they didn't kill you. But they're willing to kill you with their words behind closed doors. There's a lot we could say, a lot to speculate, a lot to lay out. But as we read, there's a lot to learn for each and every one of us. Jesus, we thank you for your compassion, for your love, for your wisdom, for your patience, your kindness, your mercy, your grace, all things that we do not deserve. And yet you give them to us freely anyways. For those of us that have tasted much, may we give much to those around us in return. For those of us that have drank deeply from the cup of mercy, may we extend deeply to those around us the cup of mercy. And I pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Welcome back to another installment of Whatever This Thing Is. I'm Jill.
I'm Brian.
Hello, husband.
Hello, wife.
How are you today?
It's been a good day. We were just kind of talking about how intense everything is, but it's been a good day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been really good to get out of any kind of major metropolitan crush.
Yes, I agree with that.
And I think that has some to do with it. So we're in Kalambaka, Greece. And it's been a really beautiful day. I mean, we had to travel a lot.
Yeah.
And we got to travel a lot pretty much every day to get to all the places that we're going and end up where we're supposed to end up. But it was good. So Thessaloniki, Thessalonica, big city, beautiful city. Was riding around on the subway last night looking at archaeology that they found in the subways. And on the seacoast, then there's nothing to complain about. It's a beautiful city. But I guess I just felt weary.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of like everything kept kind of catching up. But some sleep and to get up and go today and the travel that we did today. I don't know. I kind of was rejuvenating.
Yeah, I think you and I both, a little bit of a spoiler alert, I think you and I both said today was definitely a highlight. I don't want to say one of our favorite days, because we're not all the way through yet.
I know, and it's hard to even quantify that.
Right.
Because some places, you know, you just sit standing there going, this is the place. Like, mm-hmm. I've been reading about this place. This happened in the Bible. This is the place.
Right.
And I remember that, you know, all connecting those dots throughout all the different years in Israel. And so this is the first time to all of these places.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but it was a highlight day. Unexpected, beautiful, humbling, breathtaking.
Mm-hmm.
Reverential, spiritual day.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So we get up, never really having quite enough sleep, but enough to get us by and get going. And so we did get going from Thessalonica and headed out to a place called Varia, which is specifically named in the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
It was called Berea in the New Testament. And it is a for sure actual place that Paul traveled and ministered to. If I'm remembering right, this is the 17th chapter of Acts that we're into now.
Oh, look at you.
I'm pretty sure. And he was in Thessalonica, and he had to leave Thessalonica, which is where we spent the night, and we had to leave as well.
Yes, so, we did.
Probably more voluntary than Paul.
Yeah.
He goes to Berea, and the Bible speaks of the Bereans as people who listened to what Paul had to say, and instead of just going like, nope, this just doesn't line up with my theology, or nope, this doesn't just line up with my culture, or nope, I've already got this all figured out, and God is only this way, and he only does this with these people. They listened. And did not reject outright the things that Paul said. And the Bible says that they spent days actually examining the scriptures to test, to see if what Paul was saying could be true. And so they really...
What a concept.
Yeah. So they actually discerned and spent real time considering. And so Berea... It's not like there's this huge amount of archaeology, and it's not like there's a huge connection point, like this long story in Acts, but we did, like, we went to the synagogue, and of course, synagogues are built upon synagogues, so this is very likely the place of the original synagogue, because it's not like this was a heavy, like, Jewish place.
Right.
But there was a Jewish culture. We found some really, like, it was kind of sobering to hear about, you know, the Nazis coming in and occupying Greece. And we've heard this at a couple of places.
Yeah, I was just thinking of that as you're saying it.
Berea isn't large. So 500 Jews were rounded up out of the city and sent to Auschwitz. One came back. And the ancestor of that one, I believe it's the son, is the only Jewish person in Berea now.
Right.
And so there is a synagogue, and it is kind of opened up once a year. That's what I heard. Unless there's groups, you know, Jewish groups who do make pilgrimages there. And
because you have to have 10 men in one city to be able to have an open synagogue to worship.
Yeah, that's what they said. So that was kind of sobering.
That was very sobering.
It was also beautiful to see, like, this particular renovation of the synagogue was from 1850, I believe. So it's old. But it's, you know, built upon the ruins of the one before, which is built upon the ruins of the one before, going all the way back to where Paul came. Often when he went into a city, he looked for his own people. Like, he's a Jew, and he's a Roman citizen, but he's a Jew. And this is the context and what he understands and what he can, you know, what he's a scholar in and what he can speak to. So it was, that was cool. But then very near there is this place where, well, it's called the Bema, like the proclamation point, the place that it's believed that Paul spoke, where he began to share the news of Jesus and begin to tell that story that people listened to and discerned. And there's kind of like a monument type of, like, there's some mosaics, and there's a statue of Paul, but then there's these three steps.
Yeah.
In the middle of it all, there's these really ancient stairs, three steps. And those are from the first century, and those are believed to be, like, the steps that went up to this little platform that Paul stood on and spoke. And that was something.
Yeah.
How did you take that all, that whole thing? Well, I just said what we did in Berea. Well, how did you take that all in?
I think probably very similar to you. I mean, it was a beautiful morning, and just taking a a leisure stroll because there were groups where we were when we first got there. And so we were like, well, maybe if we just go look at something else, we'd come back and...
Yeah, there was like a Catholic, some brothers and sisters that are Catholic that were there. Yeah. But they were doing a mass. And so it was like, well, we can't just roll up on them while they're, you know, doing liturgy and gonna take the Eucharist. And so we did get that chance to have a stroll, like a fresh market, like fresh vegetables and some apples,
some
and grapes.
Greek grapes, and some of the best apples, and just to it's just so endearing to see people out in the morning, not in a rush, not in a hurry.
Not blowing a horn.
Not blowing a horn. Sitting outside, it was pretty, but there was a little chill in the air. But sitting outside, enjoying each other's company.
Having a smoke.
Having a smoke, because most of Europe...
We are in this culture between Turkey and Greece both, But yeah, they're just, having some coffee, having a smoke, talking to each other, eating a pastry or whatever.
Yeah, and even some of those smaller towns in Turkey, in the middle of the day, there's just like these little villages where there's a group of men that get together and they just play games.
Yeah.
And I'm like, deal me in.
I know.
So that was really enjoyable, just to walk, have a nice cup of coffee, see the synagogue. And then, even saw this other small church that caught my eye, just Church of Pentecost, and don't know anything about it, but I was like, well, look at you. There you are, tucked away in this little building. That's cute. So, yeah, it's definitely sobering and enlightening to see and know that because of Paul's efforts, the church is more than likely what it is today.
Without a doubt. Clearly, historically, absolutely.
And prior to that, like I think I've held a bit of issue with Paul just in some of his, words about women and such.
Yeah.
Before I knew context.
Yeah, that's ongoing.
Yeah.
And has been for centuries. So, yeah.
Right. So, just being here is, it's different in the sense of like to walk in the footsteps of Jesus in Israel is inexplicable.
Right.
And even some spots rocked me there that I just didn't expect. The church on the water, Peter's primacy.
Right.
Where Jesus just does a very human thing and serves the disciples breakfast.
Yeah.
It absolutely tears me up.
Yeah.
So I guess, this is not that, but it doesn't have to be.
Sure. Right.
But understanding really the lengths that Paul went to and even just, we didn't have lunch today, so... We just went and got a cheese board and sitting outside talking with Ezekiel and have all these questions that come up and exploring that. And it's every thought provokes 100 more questions. So,
yeah. Yeah, this has been so interesting to chase. Everything after the Gospels, like to chase the book of Acts, because we are just like, and Paul's letters that come following that, but we are like walking that path, and ticking off place after place after place, and
go ahead.
No, I was just going to kind of sum up Berea, just saying, those steps. I don't know. It was just like, wow. And the way that the book of Acts describes the Bereans is so different. Like, I guess I never really... It's just such a short little aside when he goes there. Because it's not like, he establishes this large community, and then there's first and second Bereans. So, but that he had to leave Thessalonica, where he did write, you know, first and second Thessalonians to.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes to Berea, and instead of like literally being a lightning rod and causing a mob, which is what happens almost everywhere he goes,
mm-hmm.
these were different kind of people with a different kind of attitude.
Yeah.
Not necessarily gullible in any way, because it says they like diligently searched the scriptures to see if what he said was true.
Right.
So instead of just, I don't know, like I, you know, being in the Christian world my whole life, and I was the same, you were this, like we are taught what to believe, and that gets handed down to us, and we mm-hmm. are taught that if you question it ever,
yeah,
that you are on a slippery slope to backsliding, you know. And
not only are you on a slippery slope to backsliding, but you kind of get a name, like watch out for that one, they're trouble.
Yeah, they're kind of walking in deception, or you just all this kind of stuff that's like, you know, you're afraid to ask a question
mm-hmm.
when that is just not the history of the faith at all. And so to just see this example of people who didn't just, you know, outright now go, nope, 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 that's not what I was handed. That's not, you know, instead of that saying, interesting.
Yeah.
Because saying, interesting doesn't change anything about faith. It just says, maybe there's something to learn here.
Right.
Maybe there's not.
Right.
But I'm not devoid of the Holy Spirit, and I can listen without being like, I can explore.
Yeah.
Calmly and discern and examine the scriptures myself
mm-hmm.
and see if I've got something to learn, because we all have something to learn all the time, every day. So it was, I guess it just never really, it's such just a couple of verses.
Mm-hmm.
But now they're alive.
Yeah.
And now they're, you know, now I kind of dig the Bereans.
Yeah. They are smart people.
Yeah.
I think one thing that, kind of struck me today while we were driving is, I think if we're not careful, we take our faith and the transition of our testament, of our conversion. Mm-hmm. We've formulated, you know, how to get saved, so to speak. And we take that conversion and it's like, oh, you're now saved. You're good.
Mm-hmm.
Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life and you are so good with Jesus. Welcome to, you're going to have eternal life after this life. You're going to live forever. And maybe this is just, you know, I'm oversimplifying this message that I grew up with of like, but you have to really perfect it to stay out of hell.
Mm-hmm.
I now understand in a way that I never had before with Paul, the conversion of the old is dead, mm-hmm. the new is come.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, whatever your atonement, help me, sorry, tired.
Atonement theory?
Yeah, whatever atonement theory that you're subscribing to, and probably a lot of people don't even really know what that means, but however you translate the reason that Jesus died and how that payment for sin has been finalized,
mm-hmm.
I now understand that so many people were converting, but nothing in their life had changed.
Right.
The old was still very present.
Yeah.
And I now understand that because I believe that's a lot of the Christianity that I grew up around.
Yeah, and Paul speaks to those things in his letters with images like, why are you wearing a dead person's clothes?
Yes.
Or why are you trying to resurrect a corpse?
Yes.
And be like a dead person, a zombie?
Yes.
When you've been made new and born again. And yeah, that is so much of our experience.
So I think if we're not careful, we can think, I prayed the prayer, I'm good. My name, like, I've got this new lease on eternity.
Mm-hmm.
When we don't realize that eternal life is given now in this life.
Yeah.
An eternal life is, there's got to be fruit of that now.
Mm-hmm.
We're not good because we prayed a prayer.
Yeah.
It's like you prayed the prayer, great. Let's see how the next few months of your life work out. When you stop doing all of the things, when you turn from the things, the sinful nature,
die to those things
and live a completely different life. And when we don't, we are literally no different than the world.
Mm-hmm.
We've just got different language.
Preach it, sister.
I'm not trying to preach. I'm trying to share, like, this was my life.
Yeah.
And I see the clear cuts now of, I get baptism in a whole new way.
Yeah.
And there's a funny story. There's a funny story about that from an artist that you worked with years ago. And it's funny, but it's actually so true.
Mm-hmm.
Where I guess this particular fellow was from the South.
Uh-huh.
And they had water baptism a lot.
Uh-huh.
And this...
I'm trying to track in on this.
Okay.
Keep going.
You may not remember this. But the story goes that this man's wife made him breakfast every Sunday morning before church.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't have time to eat his breakfast this particular Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
And so he grabbed his biscuits without the gravy and stuck them in his pockets.
Oh, yeah.
And he decided to get baptized that morning.
Uh-huh.
And so he gets baptized and his wife's watching from the sidelines and she says, dunk him again, pastor. His sins is coming up in chunks.
Yeah. With the biscuits. Yep.
I think that's actually how it's supposed to go.
Yeah. That's great.
I mean, maybe it's not like chunks are coming out of places, but we're supposed to give up something. Which
everything,
is the whole,
actually.
Everything. Which if, I guess I'm just clicking a lot of pieces of the puzzle into place this year.
Mm-hmm.
Reading in my readings in chronological, but I get the process of sacrifice, of animal sacrifice. It cost them something.
Mm-hmm.
And the point wasn't that they have to sacrifice this huge animal and there's this huge process that probably took most of the day.
Mm-hmm.
The point was, do this so you don't sin again.
Right.
You'll remember this process so that you won't do it again.
Right.
Which is consequence, I guess. So anyways, that's like a whole thing. But I that kind of clicked for me today.
Yeah. So I guess moving forward then
Sorry, that was a lot.
That was great, baby. I was rich. I loved it.
Rich.
I love it when people say that.
Was that helpful?
Yeah. That was very helpful. It was beautiful, actually.
Oh.
And I have no doubt that connects. You know, this journey is connecting a lot of dots for a lot of people because it's connecting for us. And so I have no doubt that somebody needed to hear that and needs to hear everything that we're saying. so I'm grateful. Then...
Oh, yeah. We left Berea.
We left Berea and needed to settle in because we had 3 hours. And didn't... we knew we were leaving... we know we are ultimately on our way to Athens.
Mm-hmm.
But all of these places, so many of these New Testament places have different names, and it's hard to, we're going so fast, it's hard to keep up with everything. And so, and I didn't remember exactly what was happening. I just knew we were going to the next place. And then we were going, leaving the Paul Trail for a second and moving back into early church history. Mm-hmm.
Did you have any clue what we were about to embark on?
I remember, spoiler, monasteries. I remembered that. But I had forgotten we'd never been to this place. And so we drove through the mountains.
Yes.
Through a mountainous region of Greece. So beautiful.
So beautiful.
Autumn leaves.
Crops on the ground.
Olive trees.
Peach trees.
Peaches and season. Everything's just...
Pomegranate.
So lovely. And the mountainous region is just so, just speaks to my soul.
Mm-hmm.
So that was great. And then we roll into this kind of region where all of a sudden there are these crazy rock formations.
Mm-hmm.
Massive thousands of feet tall rock formations. And we can see them in the distance, and then we get closer and closer, and it's like, oh, this is where we're going.
Yeah.
And this is a place called Meteora. A place that monks found and thought, this is suspended between heaven and earth. And that couldn't be better said.
I can't disagree one bit with him.
It's like, so... If you're not, from the United States, you probably won't understand this reference. And if you are, you probably will, or at least some of you will. It's like Yosemite in California with monasteries on the top. So picture Half Dome with a monastery on top of it. Or picture El Capitan with a monastery on top of it.
Not just one monastery.
Yeah. All over. So it's...
Was it five or seven?
Oh, it's a bunch. But it's like those kinds of rock formations, like that kind of glacial carving that it's just...
Rocks with character.
Unbelievable. Monoliths.
Mm.
With monasteries on the top of them. Like, how did they do that?
Yeah.
And how does this go back to 900? Or how does this go back to 1200 or 1300? And... Wow.
Yeah.
This is unbelievable. And so we got the opportunity to, first of all, pick our jaws up off the ground a couple of times. But that just breathed so much life. It was so unexpected and so awe-inspiring and jarring in a good way.
Yeah.
Shocking in a good way. To just, first of all, realize, wait a second. They built that on the top of that. How did they even get up there in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
Especially so long ago. And how, the devotion that we're talking about is crazy to just truly try to get between heaven and earth and give your life to God and...
Yeah.
Devote yourself completely. That was just... I don't know. This is some of these early church places to realize what they... that they really did give everything to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't the frosting on their cake. He was their cake.
Yeah.
He wasn't the add-on to give life a good hack. He was life itself.
Yeah.
And that they're fleeing and spreading out and building and just expressing themselves through worship and art and craftsmanship and while trying to stay alive.
Yeah.
and devote themselves fully to the service of the Lord. It's incredible.
It's so humble and simplistic, but not simplistic. Like, it's so... I hate describing things by saying so. I wish there was a better word. I think I look at it and I understand why people would build and do things as high up as they possibly could.
Mm-hmm.
For one, I think there is this this mentality that you are a little bit closer to God. But secondly, if you are the highest place all around you, there are no distractions.
Right.
Like, if you're looking out across, you may see a monastery, but you're just seeing beauty in chunks, mm-hmm. clumps, like the biscuits, clumps of rocks that are so stark and beautiful. And so you think, for a man or a woman, a monk or a nun, who devote themselves to the service of God.
Mm-hmm.
They are sacrificing so much.
Yeah.
Giving up so much. That I think it's safe to say they're not getting Fox News or any,
yeah. right.
any sort of news pumped yeah. into the monastery.
Right.
They are unaware.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nobody telling them, you know, you should really be aware of what's going on in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the only way that they could do what it is that they have vowed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Dedicate a life to worship to God.
Yeah. So just rubbing up against that kind of commitment, that devotion, and that ongoing seeking of God over centuries. A lot of these monasteries now are from the Byzantine Empire, and they're like monuments to be visited. But some of them are still acting as monasteries. And so we got to visit a monastery.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got to visit a nunnery.
Mm-hmm.
And they're so beautifully kept. They're so serene and peaceful.
Pristine. The grounds, the gardens, the... Of course, we didn't get to see them. They're not on display. That's not who they are.
Sure.
They're behind the curtain.
Mm-hmm.
But just the care, the respect, the honor of the place that they live and serve is so beautiful.
It really was. And it just breathed life. Into everything. I find those places to be, I'm not sure what, they move me.
Mm-hmm.
Touching the ancient, touching, reaching back for traditions that, you know, like sometimes we'll pray prayers that are 1,000 years old and knowing like this has been said by 1 billion people and or creeds or the, you know, just these kind of things. I don't know, just seeing that kind of spiritual commitment. It's humbling. It makes me feel closer to God. Those kinds of places.
Mm-hmm.
They have Belize back in Turkey would say there's an energy.
Yeah.
And there's like a special energy here. And we would call that the spirit of God, right? But it's, there is something different.
Mm-hmm.
If you're willing to slow down and smell it and feel it, there is something different about being in a place that has been set aside as holy for so long.
Yeah.
And, I don't know how else to describe it. I can feel those feels.
Yeah.
And they make me feel connected.
Yeah.
So
they've always moved you deeply, yeah, I think.
Yeah, I think so. So that was great.
Yeah.
And it was beautiful, and it was striking, and spiritual, and a connection. Not like specifically referred to in the Bible, but had Paul not been, you know, in following the path that he followed, none of these monasteries, you know, it's all as a result,
right,
of the reverberations over generations from the early church, from the book of Acts forward, and what happened.
Right.
And we could get so sucked into the 21st century Western mindset,
mm-hmm,
that we have everything figured out and there is no mystery. And when it's actually the mystery that makes it faith.
Yes.
So I loved being up there today.
Yeah, I did too.
And that's as far as we got. Like, so we've come down off the mountain and we're in the valley.
Yeah.
And we're kind of camping out here. And we'll continue our journey tomorrow. But I loved it. It was a great day.
It was a great day. I think even seeing the order of the day of the life in one of the monks or the nuns, you see really how simplistic their life is,
mm-hmm,
how much time is set aside and allotted for prayer.
Yeah.
And so I just was starting to think about that, because I know a lot of people, I've heard a lot of people say, like, I don't know how to pray. Or, yeah, I'm not a good prayer. I don't want to pray. Because we can get real performancey sometimes with our prayers. And it makes other people feel inadequate when prayer is just talking to God.
Yeah.
But I was trying to imagine praying for that many hours a day. And going, if you're not asking for God, because they can't be asking God for a whole lot.
Yeah.
They have sufficiency.
Mm-hmm.
What would that even look like?
Friendship.
Yeah.
Relationship. Intimacy. Oneness. Union. What our soul craves. To be reunited with God.
Yeah.
I love it.
I loved it. I loved even just thinking about it. Like, if I devoted half that time in my day to prayer and to, you know, without asking God, giving him my to-do list or my,
mm-hmm,
you know, here's my lottery.
Mm-hmm.
I did this for you this week. So my expectation is that you're going to come through.
Right.
Where here's my spiritual authority. I'm going to now move a mountain to.
Mm-hmm.
Get you to work on my behalf.
Mm-hmm.
But what if I just focused on adoration of who God is?
Yeah. Yes, just start places, there. Those places kind of do that. Mm-hmm. Recenter. So that's where we are, friends. I actually kind of got in a little earlier, so the chances of a good night's sleep.
They're real good tonight.
Are fair. And so.
And I don't want people to think that we're just going and not listening and taking care.
Yeah, like we're just being foolish. It's just a lot. It's just, you know, we knew it was going to be a lot, and it is.
But we do rest in the travel as much as we can.
Taking our vitamins. Drinking plenty of water.
Yep.
Yeah. And taking it all in. And it's a lot to take in. So thank you for being with us on this journey. We appreciate it very much. We appreciate your prayers. So grateful that we can do this and challenge you with what we're being challenged with.
Mm-hmm.
And looking forward to someday being able to kind of see this through your eyes.
Yeah.
As you experience it too. But I guess that's what we did today. So we'll sign off for now. DailyAudioBible.com. That is the website. Daily Audio Bible app is home base. These are home base. Get connected and stay connected. We're posting videos every day, social media. So go to the community section of the website or the app, and you can find links to that, including like what we just, everything we just described today, those three steps that Paul stood on, and these monolithic mountaintop monasteries that are impossible to believe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to climbing up the stairs up the side of a mountain today, that was something.
Yeah, that really was.
So you can see all that. And yeah, if you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, you can do that at dailyaudiobible.com. There's a link on the homepage. If you're using the app, you can press the give button in the upper right hand corner, or the mailing address is
DAB PO Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174.
And thank you humbly. If you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. And depending on what you're doing, you may need your pointer finger. How would that work?
Well, you would hit submit and then turn that little wheelio to chronological. Mm-hmm. Or you can take your piggy and dial 800-583-2164 for chronological, or for DAB
877-942-4253. And that's all for today. We love you. I'm Brian.
I'm Jill.
And very likely, we'll be back here with another installment of whatever this is tomorrow.
Hi, family. This is your sister, Kentucky, and it's Sunday, October the 19th. And I'm just calling in response to my brother from Baltimore, who called in for Renee to congratulate her on passing and ask for prayer as he will get ready to defend his dissertation. And he made a comment about knowledge can puff up, but he wants to be has love that builds up. And my brother, I just want you to know how I heard God speak when you said that. And I went and looked up that verse. It's from 1 Corinthians 8. And I agree with you 100%. You know, in our flesh, we can sort of get excited when we start hearing from the Lord and he's given us revelation, and excitement might be a little bit, our flesh wants to get in there and become prideful. And I was just reminded of what he told Paul, not that I think I'm anywhere like Paul, but how for all the revelation given to me, then a thorn in the flesh was given to me to sort of keep me humble. And you said, I just want to stay humble. And I'm there with you, my brother. I am there with you. For what the Lord is showing me from his word and what he is speaking to me. And I share that with others, but I want to share it in humility, in that I'm just one of them learning from the Spirit, the word of God as well. So prayers for you, that you will complete task your dissertation, and I believe that means you will have a PhD, correct? So blessings, my family. I love y'all. Just be blessed.
Good morning, Daily Audio Bible. This is Cynthia from upstate New York, and I just want to say, you, Brian, and you, Jill, and to you, Ezekiel, we just thank you from the bottom of our hearts for this odyssey. I love that word. The odyssey that you all are currently on, helping us to make the Bible real by visiting all of these places and then just sharing every intricate description of where you are and what's going on. But may I just ask one thing of you? Please take good care of yourselves. I know you all are running on little sleep, and you are moving from place to place, and you are just covering so much for us and on our behalf. And Lord, we from the bottom of our hearts, but do get good sleep, get good rest. I know it doesn't need to be said, and I don't want a mother, but that's who I am. Take your vitamins. Make sure you amounts of sleep. We want to hear every little piece of what's going on, but we want you all to remain in the best health possible. So again, do take good care of yourselves. And yeah, Jill, the stinky things in the sink, that really just made me laugh, but I know that's just how quote unquote glamorous it is for you all right now. So we do thank you for that. You are in the trenches. And we just pray for safety. We pray for good health. We pray for just good meals and all that's needed to give these people provision and strength to get through this amazing odyssey. And amen.
Hello, my wonderful DAFC family. This is covered in his blood, and I'm coming with you guys to you guys with a praise report. I reached out to my grandbaby's mom, and I asked her, hey, can my son get the baby the weekend? And she said yes. So Tutu got to spend the whole weekend with Tootie. He took her home with him, and he just took videos, pictures. He really enjoyed her. She is 9 months old tomorrow, which is the 20th of October. She's trying to walk. But anyway, you guys, they are still going to court on November the 12th. But you know what? He got to spend Tootie, and he enjoyed it. So I just want to call and give you guys a praise report. They're not out the woods yet. They are still going to court. But yes, she allowed him to keep the baby for the weekend and her as well, because she was able to get some rest and have some wants and have some her time, which she do deserve. But you guys continue to pray for these young people that they learn how to cope. And I just want you guys to know, KFDI, I am keeping you guys covered in prayers. I love you guys. Have a wonderful day. This is covered in his blood. I love you guys.